Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. A congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 431, the stanzas 4, 5, and 6. Open, saith the Lord, with thy mouth believing, this my covenant word, I will, if thou plead, fill thine every need, all thy wants relieving, and what follows. Psalter 431, the stanzas 4, 5, and 6.
Thank you.
the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in John 6, verses 43 through 58. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. John 6, the verses 43 through 58. Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, Murmur not among yourselves, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. And not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he has seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me even he, as shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, and not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Thus far, the scripture reading. Caleb Gresnick was privileged to come from home from the hospital this day. Let us try to ask the Lord for a blessing. Most holy, most gracious, most long-suffering God, then it has pleased thee to crown this Sabbath day with thy goodness, where thou wast spared, protected, provided, and cared, and for the second time, that the doors of thy house have been opened, and in so far that it was possible to enter those doors and to place ourselves under thy word and eternal testimony. May we be humbled under all thy goodness, and also an impression that we shall also have to give an account of thy blessings and also of thy word. And Lord, thou knowest most perfectly what we stand in need of, and then we have heard out of thy holy word of the drawing love of the Father. May it please thee in this evening hour that thy word may be blessed to the hearts of young and old, that heavenly potter in thy sovereignty, that thou may pick up ruined lumps of clay and place them upon the potter wheel of free and sovereign grace, and that in beginning they may become a vessel conformable to thy image. Lord, convert us and our children, as thou doth convert all thy people. Work lovingly and irresistibly by thy Holy Spirit. Impress upon all our hearts that our time is short, and that the time is serious, that we live in solemn times, but also an impression of all thy goodness, and may it be the goodness of the Lord that leadeth us and our children to that godly sorrow, to that repentance, returning unto thee, and the need to be washed in the precious blood of thy dear Son. Oh, it may still be declared that there is such a rich Savior given, that poor and needy sinners, that they may and that they shall be saved. How terrible it shall be when we only harden our heart, refuse to hearken, refuse to bow, refuse to repent, and refuse to believe, and then to have to go lost under thy precious testimony shall be all our own fault. And then if we are not converted, and we have to appear before thee, then it shall be forever and ever too late. And, Lord, thou knowest if thou leaveth us lie, that we are forever undone, that we are forever lost and wretched. And thou hast commanded thy church to pray fervently for an outpouring of thy Holy Spirit, and that thy kingdom may come. May it please thee to do it in the midst of us and our children. Thou knowest how that each and every one has come up to thy house. May there be those with a spiritual appetite that may hunger and thirst after righteousness, that have fervently begged thee in this day, even if that as with that woman that has begged even for a little crumb from the master's table. Then such seeking souls, then they shall be given to rejoice with joy unspeakable. May it please thee to do it in this evening hour. Well, to grant the strengthening of the faith of thy children, to be given to look upon him who was fairer than the children of men, and where grace is poured out upon his lips. Well, thou bless the manifold means of grace. Well, thou remember and help the consistory on the Sabbath day during the week with the weighty and manifold labors. Well, thou remember and help fathers and mothers to instruct their children in the aforesaid doctrine. Do bless our Christian school with all those that may labor therein. Wilt thou grant traveling mercies? Wilt thou remember and help the school board when they hope to meet in this week? Wilt thou gather with them? Remember our denomination. Remember the theological school, the students. May their numbers be increased. We commend unto thee the instructors when they are given to teach the students. Above all, may they be taught from heaven. Wilt thou remember the persecuted church? Grant courage and strength given to look upon the King who is all power in heaven and upon earth. Take the veil away from the Jewish nation. Remember mission work, also our mission field, thy servants, the team. May it please thee to incline a heart to become a church worker, a sower of the seed in the midst of that people. Well, thou remember land and country, where we have departed so far from thy word and from thy institutions, and where sin is multiplied as never before, sins that cry unto heaven for vengeance. And thou art very long-suffering, and by nature then man only abuses that long-suffering. But it shall come to an end, and what shall it be? When the angels are given to blow their trumpets, and the vials of thy wrath are poured out upon the nations, Lord, may we be given to see the signs of the time, and that there may be a hastening for our life's sake, that we may be converted, and that we may receive that blessed and safe place under the sheltering wings of Emmanuel. We remember all the mourning ones, the mourning family, when we are called upon to go to the cemetery to bring their beloved one to the grave. Do uphold them in a special way. Grant a word to speak and may the calling be sanctified together with all other mourning ones. We remember Bethesda also by renewal, a large mourning family where an empty place has come. Remember all our elderly ones. Remember the sick and afflicted ones, those that are in their dwellings in this day on account of sickness. May it please thee to grant healing. We may acknowledge thee that a father and mother were given for the second time to take their little gift home, their little son. Wilt thou remember further? Wilt thou remember the young man in the hospital waiting for surgery? Lord, may he be given to cry unto thee, that thou may remember him. And wilt thou help the physician, and that the means may be blessed? A father who hopes to go to the hospital by renewal for foot surgery, thou hast made it remarkably well the other times already. May it please thee to do it also this time. And, O Lord, above all, wilt thou grant by thy grace this calling may be sanctified, that he may receive those spiritual feet to walk in thy ways and to beg for mercy. Remember him together with his wife. Remember the crosses. Remember the burdens. Remember the family circles. May love abound when it is not so. Wilt thou grant a turning unto thee, a bowing of the knees, what has been separated? Wilt thou graciously bring it together? Remember those that are struggling with addictions and with temptations. Oh, wilt thou deliver them by thy almighty hand? May they be given to cry unto thee. Lord, now in this evening hour, then we humbly ask thee for thy help. Each time is a new time. Wilt thou be a surprising God? Wilt thou remember all the hearers, from the youngest to the oldest? Help also our little boys and our girls to understand. And thou only needeth one word applied by thy Spirit, that they may receive a new heart. Wilt thou drive out all the buyers and sellers, outwardly can be so encumbered with the cares of the world, but also inwardly, that we may learn by thy grace of people that is laboring in the house of bondage, that it is grace and grace alone, without money and without price. How wilt thou then draw? And thou hast declared in thy word, all that the Father has given me shall come unto me, and him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. Lord, wilt thou then draw by thy word and by thy love, and then sinners shall come? It is all a gift from above. Teach us more and more how dependent we are upon thee. And then by renewal, Lord, also in this evening hour, then we must confess that our sins are great and manifold. May there have come up souls burdened with the same, and that have begged thee that they may be all pardoned and washed away. Lord, may the outgoing of the service be for the coming of thy kingdom and the glory of thy name. Pardon us of all of our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 115, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. As pants the heart for streams of living water, as so longs my soul, O living God, for thee. I thirst for thee. For thee my heart is yearning. When shall I come thy gracious face to see? And what follows? Psalter 115, the first three stanzas.
Thank you.
in this evening hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 29, the question and answer 78 and 79. Question 78. Do then the bread and wine become the very body and blood of Christ? Answer, not at all. But as the water in baptism is not changed into the blood of Christ, neither is the washing away of sin itself, being only the sign and confirmation thereof, appointed of God. So the bread in the Lord's Supper is not changed into the very body of Christ, though agreeably to the nature and properties of sacraments, it is called the body of Christ Jesus. Question 79. Why then doth Christ call the bread his body and the cup his blood, or the new covenant in his blood, and Paul the communion of the body and blood of Christ? Answer, Christ speaks thus not without great reason, namely, not only thereby to teach us that his bread and wine support this temporal life, so his crucified body and shed blood are the true meat and drink, whereby our souls are fed to eternal life. But more especially, by these visible signs and pledges, to assure us that we are as really partakers of his true body and blood, by the operation of the Holy Ghost, as we receive by the mouth of our body these holy signs in remembrance of him, and that all his sufferings and obedience are as certainly ours as if we had in our own person suffered and made satisfaction for our sins to God. A Lord's Day number 29 speaks of the bread and wine of the Lord's Supper with three thoughts. In the first place, the riches portrayed by the bread and wine. Secondly, the heirs concerning the bread and wine. And thirdly, the scriptural language concerning the bread and wine. The bread and wine of the Lord's Supper, the riches portrayed by the bread and wine, which is declared in answer 79. The heirs concerning the bread and wine in question and answer 78, and the scriptural language concerning the bread and wine also in number 79. Thus, in the first place, the riches portrayed by the bread and wine. Beloved congregation, when we hear this Lord's Day, where it also addresses the heirs, that have come throughout the ages concerning the signs of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, then the question can arise in our mind, is that now necessary in the midst of us and our children to be explained that in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, that the bread and the wine, that they do not change and turn into the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is true. Then we know that does not happen. But when we consider the heirs and other churches, then we do well to examine our own hearts and our own understanding concerning the signs, the bread and the wine, and the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. I hope that there may be those souls that are struggling with those matters, and that are oftentimes searching and asking the Lord concerning clarity. Then it is a blessing, if it may please the Lord, when we consider the heirs, that the Lord may use it by His Spirit, that we may be given to see more of the riches of the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. In the sacrament of holy baptism, Lord's Day number 29 has many similarities with Lord's Day 27 concerning the sacraments, and then with the sacrament of holy baptism, then there is overestimation. And then there is also underestimation. And we shall hear in this evening that it is likewise with the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. For Prince Frederick, also called Frederick III, when he became prince over the province of the Palatinate, and when he has come to the city of Heidelberg, then he quickly came to the conclusion that also in that city, that there were different thoughts concerning the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, and among the Protestants, a difference between the followers of Luther and the followers of Calvin. And that has brought Frederick III in great distress and in great need, because he realized it was necessary that the church needs to be instructed concerning the holy things of the Lord. And it is recorded of that prince in that respect, what a blessed time for the church when among those in high authority, a great respect for God's holy word, and to have a prince that is converted unto the Lord with a love for never dying souls and a vehement desire that his subjects would walk in the ways of the Lord. And to that end it is recorded that burden concerning the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, that it became so heavy and that it became so unbearable that there were weeks that the prince has secluded himself with his Bible, and that he has begged the Lord that by his Spirit that he may grant light upon the sacrament, that he may understand the truths thereof. O Maria, his dear wife, I have told you before, maybe young people, you can remember when Frederick the Prince has asked Maria's hand in marriage when she was 17 years old. And then it was upon one stipulation, and that Frederick the Third would promise that in their married life every day that they would read the scriptures and the writings of Martin Luther. And now for Maria, it became her concern that Frederick the Third would not remain a Lutheran, but that he would agree with Calvin. And after some weeks, it is recorded that Frederick the Third, that he was shown, that he was convinced, that John Calvin, based upon the Holy Scriptures, and to that end with the searching, he was alone with the Word of God, that was the scriptural view of the Lord's Supper. And then after that catechism was finished, then a synod was called. For 8 days they have met. And on January 17, then the catechism was accepted and approved to be used in the midst of the churches. And now concerning the bread and wine, before we speak a few words concerning the heirs, then we hope to speak of the riches portrayed in that bread and wine. And now concerning that bread and wine, who does that now receive value for? We read thereof in Matthew 5 in the Beatitudes, and I hope that there are also such souls in my midst in this evening hour, and when it is yet mist, that there may be souls that may receive a spiritual appetite. When the Lord has created Adam and Eve, then they had a twofold appetite, a natural appetite, but also a spiritual appetite. And now through our deep fallen Adam, then we have retained that natural appetite for food and drink. What a privilege and what a blessing, and how many things we take for granted. Then is it not fitting at the family table that there is not only given thanks for food and drink, but also when we and our children may have a natural appetite. But now through our deep fallen Adam, then we have lost the spiritual appetite. But now by the work of the Holy Spirit, by free and sovereign grace, when we are wrought upon, then it becomes so different. Then we receive those spiritual longings and those holy desires for the living God. And then we start to resemble that heart as we have sung together out of Psalm 42, as the heart panteth for the water brooks, so my soul doth pant for the living God. And then we find our life in Matthew 5. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And the Lord has a people upon the earth, where he has begun, that it is a people that can and that may not deny that those matters are strange to them. But now for those hungering and thirsting souls, I hope that in this evening that there have come up such to God's house, with a cry and with a prayer, that they may receive some food, even with that woman from Canaan, because it is a people that learn that they have sent everything away, and each time by renewal that they have ruined everything. But those are souls that cannot leave the Lord alone, and each time by renewal are given to beg the Lord for his favor and for his mercy, because that is a people that learns that with all the things, the nice and the good things, which they may receive in this life, that it does not give the true satisfaction, that they need their sins pardoned, and that they may need to be reconciled with God. And now for those thirsting and hungry ones, oh, they need the strengthening of their faith, and that is a people that also is given to confess that they are so ignorant concerning the sacraments. And now it has pleased the King of the Church in his great love and in his great compassion with the sacrament of the Lord's Supper to give two simple signs that may instruct the children of God concerning the meritorial work of Christ Jesus. Then concerning the bread, we have read out of John 6 that Christ has spoken profound things. And it is true, John 6, then he is not speaking of the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, but then in a figurative way, he is speaking that he is the bread of life. And now concerning that sign, then Christ for his church has chosen a sign that is common all over the world, that people eat bread. And now concerning that sign, then we may see much precious instruction concerning the work of Jesus Christ. Then bread that comes from grain, and the grain must be sown. And we read in John 12, verse 24, that Christ has said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Thus the necessity, O Christ, was given to point to himself, that it was necessary that he would die, and to that end the fruit that is his church. Then in the sacrament, then the bread is set apart. And so Christ has been set apart, already from eternity, but also in the fullness of time. Then our boys and girls, they know for bread, then the wheat needs to be ground in a mill. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, to say it reverently, in the mill of God's wrath, because that he has taken all the sins of all his children upon him, then that bread needs to be baked in fire in the scriptures that is a symbol of God's wrath. But now further, the bread is broken. And so the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, that has been broken for his people, that they shall not be broken eternally. Then that bread, then that is given to the communicants, and then that bread becomes one with their body, that refers to true saving faith. Then bread and daily life, that strengthens the body. And so in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, when it may be used, the instructors, you have heard it, that they have stressed, each time by renewal, by the operation of the Holy Spirit. Thus what a simple, but what a rich sign that is given for the church, all for those hungry and thirsty ones, and what precious invitations for those hungry and thirsty ones. Think of Matthew 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give thee rest. Then Christ is also given the sign of wine. And in Bible times, then wine was very common, because in those hot climates, more difficulty to preserve other drinks, but wine could be preserved. And now, boys and girls, you know that to have wine, then the berries need to be put in the wine press. A beautiful type of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has given himself so willingly that he may be placed in that press, Gethsemane. That means olive press. Oh, see then, the beloved Savior in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he is called, as I read in Psalm 22, verse 6, as a worm and no man. Then that wine that is poured out, it points to the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the sacrament. Then Christ is saying, my child, so my body has been broken and my blood has been poured out, that you may be saved from all your sins. Then concerning wine, And then it has many different uses. In the first place, it satisfies the thirst for those thirsty ones. In the second place, then it grants joy. Think of Joseph and his brothers when they have sat down to eat and to drink, and then they were made merry. In the third place, we read that Paul has advised his spiritual son Timothy to take a little wine for his stomach, thus a medicine. Oh, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that cleanses from all sins. In the next place, then it also was cleansing properties, because in the parable of the Good Samaritan, then he has poured wine and oil into the wound of the man that was half dead. Further, it also encourages the faint-hearted. And we read in Proverbs 31, the verses 6 and 7, give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Let him drink and forget his poverty, and remember his misery no more. Concerning those thirsty ones, what a precious invitation in Isaiah 55, verse 1, ho, everyone that thirsteth, and the Lord has a people who know what they are thirsting after, and that is after the Lord and his righteousness, that they need the pardoning of their sins, that they may experience that blessed communion, that they may experience union. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money. Oh, I hope that there are such souls that have no money left, and as poor sinners are given to beg, that are given to thirst. All for hungry and thirsty ones in natural life, boys and girls, if they do not receive food and do not receive drink, what shall happen? Then they shall perish. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Our second thought, the heirs concerning the bread and wine. Do then the bread and wine become the very body and blood of Christ? Then we must speak in short in this evening. The Roman Catholic Church, they teach transubstantiation. Can find two words in that big word, trans and substance. Thus that means the change of substance. And now the Roman Catholic Church teaches that when the priest, when he speaks certain words concerning the bread, they have a wafer, and the wine, that at that moment, that the bread, that it changes into the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the wine into the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then that air has crept in slowly but surely. Then we see, congregation, how important it is that we and our children continually be as the Bereans, as I read in Acts 17, verse 11, that we search the word of God, whether these things are so. Then we find traces of that error already in the 9th century. It has been confirmed by the Roman Catholic Church at the Lateran Council in the year 1215, and in the Council of Trent, which is met in different sessions from 1545 to 1563, and the Heidelberg Catechism was finished in 1563, then the Church, they had to address what the Reformers taught. And then in that council, then they have written that everyone that does not believe that is the truth with the speaking of those words of the priest, that the bread does not change into the body of Christ and the wine into the blood of Christ, that they must be cursed. But congregation, it is clear, then our instructors, they have given a very clear answer. Before we consider that answer, oh, Martin Luther, a dear child of God, a servant of the Most High, whom the Lord has used to bring the church out of that Egyptian bondage. Then Martin Luther, he also had an heir. Oh, perhaps, undoubtedly, Martin Luther has experienced a special blessing with the administration of the Lord's Supper, and with a desire, perhaps, that Christ would be bodily present. Thus he has come away from the heir of Rome, but he is still held on to an heir. And then he has declared that with the celebration of the Lord's Supper, then Christ was bodily present with the bread and with the wine. But now the instructors, they have answered not at all. Then they have first spoken of the water in baptism. And as the water in baptism is not changed into the blood of Christ, so the signs in the Lord's Supper, then they are not changed into the body and the blood of Christ. We could mention more examples when we consider in John 2 that marriage feast in Cana. Then when the water turned into wine, it indeed turned into wine. It could be seen and it tasted as wine. But it is clear in the Roman Catholic Church, if that wine would be chemically analyzed, that it would still be wine. And the Roman Catholics, they have special expressions and special words to explain it. But it is clear in the Lord's Supper that bread remains bread and wine remains wine. Then it concerns, then they shall point us to the words that Christ has spoken with the institution of the Lord's Supper, where Christ has declared, this is my body. But then I think that even our boys and girls, that they can understand that word is, and that it means it signifies my body. And concerning the cup, it signifies my blood. We have many different expressions that Christ, in a figurative way of speaking, that he is given to speak in John, we have eight I am's. When we think of the expression, I am the door, then our children can understand that Christ did not change into a door, but that he signified a door. Then concerning that word is, then it is a sacramental way of speaking, when it would be true that with the first, with the institution of the Lord's Supper, if Christ, if the bread had indeed changed into the body of Christ, there would be two bodies present. But now concerning the signs, then we have stated, for us and our children, then there can also be an overestimation, because with those errors, then there was much misunderstanding concerning the signs. And now for the true people of God, what questions there can be concerning the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. And now concerning the overestimation, then in the first place, for a dear child of God, when they may be given to think, to read, to meditate upon the sacrament, and also in a week of preparation, to examine themselves, then they can put supernatural matters into the sacrament, and that they consider that sacrament as a savior, and given to think, if the Lord now brings me to the table, and I may partake of that broken bread and poured out wine, then everything shall be solved. Thus what I mean, congregation, then it can be in the life of a child of God that they look upon the sacrament of the Lord's Supper as a savior. And it is true, rich things are declared. Christ has instituted the same for the strengthening of faith, but the sacrament itself is not a savior. Then it can even be in the life of a true child of God that they are given to see it, that there is a certain magical power when they may partake thereof, then it shall be well. And it is true, when it pleases the Lord to bless the sacrament, what riches are declared when they may experience the matters, what we have heard in the last Lord's Day concerning that nourishment, concerning that strengthening, concerning that embracement, and concerning that communion, then they may rejoice with joy unspeakable. Concerning the sacrament, then it is so necessary that the child of God learns and realizes that the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, that it is the means of grace, that Christ has instituted for the church, but that it is not automatic, but that with the partaking of the sacrament, also in a week of preparation, all our life long concerning the means of grace, as so it is with the preaching of long gospel, as so it is with the administration of the sacraments, that the church is so dependent upon the administration and the application of the Holy Spirit. It is a blessing, it is a privilege, when the children of God may be exercised with those matters that they are brought oftentimes at the throne of grace, and that they may be led, and that they may be taught, and when it pleases the Lord, to draw poor and needy sinners, when they may be given to hearken to that royal command, to those precious invitations, that with the partaking thereof, that they may learn more of the riches declared in the sacrament. Let us first sing a Psalter 398, the stanzas 1 and 2. The Lord upholds the faltering feet and makes the weak securely stand. The burdened ones bowed down with grief are helped by his most gracious hand. And what follows? 398, 1 and 2. the bread and wine of the Lord's Supper, the riches betrayed, the heirs concerning, and now thirdly, the scriptural language concerning the bread and wine. Why then doth Christ call the bread his body and the cup his blood, or the new covenant in his blood, and Paul, the communion of the body and blood of Christ? Thus the question is, why has the Holy Spirit in his word used such strong and rich expressions concerning the bread and the wine? Ah, that was the great love of the Lord for his church, for smoking flaxes and bruised reeds. Thus in our last thought, then we can speak of the underestimation of the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. When there is a child of God, and oh, what a struggle and what a wrestlings there can be. And those are not the worst times concerning whether a child may have a place at the table. What a size can arise. But when a child does not give heed to that royal command, when they look upon the Lord's Supper as something optional, when a child of God believes that it is only for the fully assured, when a child of God comes up only in the way of form and duty, without that preparation, is there then not an underestimation of the sacrament of the Lord's Supper? What a solemn word that Christ has spoken in Matthew 10, the verses 32 and 33, whosoever confesses me before men, I will confess before my Father in heaven. Whosoever denieth me before men, I will deny before my Father in heaven. For the true child of God, oh, there can be times that they come at their wit's end, at the end of the earth, concerning a wedding garment. We hope to hear of that wedding garment when the Lord grants it in the coming Lord's Day. But now concerning that rich language, then Christ, then the Holy Spirit has used that rich language for a people that has such low thoughts of themselves, and that sacrament is so great, but also concerning that underestimation. Sometime it is thought, and that is an unbiblical thought, that we may also experience the Lord's Supper when we remain in our bench. And it is true, the Lord is free and sovereign, and he can grant many a blessing in our bench. But as special blessings ascribed in the partaking of the Lord's Supper. To make that clear, for a hungry and a thirsty person, when he walks down the street and he comes past the bakery and he may see that baked goods, then his mouth shall begin to water. But that is different from when he may taste and partake of that bread. And now the instructors are given in their answer to especially speak, but more especially by these visible signs and pledges to assure us that we are as really partakers of his true body and blood by the operation of the Holy Ghost, as we receive by the mouth of our bodies these holy signs in remembrance of him, and that all his sufferings and obedience are as certainly ours as if we had in our own persons suffered and made satisfaction for our sins to God. To that end, the Word of God uses such strong language for the people of God, that they may receive the assurance, the riches declared in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. Bread and wine for the hungry and the thirsty. My unconverted fellow travelers, then with the proclamation of that broken bread and that poured out wine, may be proclaimed in this evening that there is a way to be pardoned and to be restored into that blessed communion. By nature, then we are hungering and thirsting after the things of the world. May you be given to place yourself faithfully under the means of grace. Oh, beg the Lord on your knees and say, Lord, wilt thou now grant that spiritual appetite for thee and thy righteousness? Oh, convert me as thou converteth all thy people. The Lord is still gathering a church. And may I ask you, how is it with our efforts concerning the welfare of our never-dying soul? Oh, people of God, concerning the sacrament, can be so many questions and so much misunderstanding that we need to be taught continually. It is clear that our instructors, that they have been led clearly concerning the precious things concerning the Lord's Supper, and for the Church of God, there may be times that he may experience and may confess with the psalmist what we read in Psalm 36, the verses 7 and 8, O Lord, how excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. and they shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures, for with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. Amen. Let us close. Lord, we may thank thee for the third Lord's Day of this year. A few words to speak. Wilt thou be the after preacher? Wilt thou remember us in this week? Wilt thou graciously watch over us? Remember the mothers in the home, at work. Remember on the way. Remember at school. Wilt thou keep us from sin and temptation? Wilt thou guide our thoughts, our words, and our deeds? Wilt thou remember the young man in the hospital? May his surgery soon take place. May it be blessed. The calling sanctified. And once more we commend the mourning family unto thee. Wilt thou remember in the day of tomorrow, tomorrow evening? Wilt thou grant strength? And wilt thou remember the following day, when we are called to go to the cemetery, to an open grave? And, Lord, remember also in the days to come, when it shall become more and more reality. Teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom's ways. Wilt thou now watch over us in the furtherance of this day? Bring us safely to our destinations over the unsafe roads. Grant a prayer for one another, Lord. Word that thirst and hunger is missing, wilt thou work it by thy Spirit? And where thou hast begun, may it only be increased to become unbearable, and that we can find no rest till we may find rest in thee. Wilt thou pardon us of all of our sins also of this day, speaking and in listening? We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 107, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. My end, Lord, make me know my days, so soon they fail. And to my thoughts, thoughtful spirit, show how weak I am and frail, and what follows. 107, the first three stanzas. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.